Welcome back to That 590 Show. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Thursday evening. Very happy for our first guest, Bob Nightingale. He is the lead baseball writer for USAtoday.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BNightingale. Bob, how are you, sir?
Yeah, doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I'd be doing better if there was just something about this Cardinals team that we could, you know, be positive about or look forward to, because right now on almost every aspect of the game, they're doing poorly right now. Give me something, give me a reason to be hopeful about this team, Bob. Can you do that?
Well, you know, when it's just that was late innings. I mean, say Brett Cecil, you know, they paid $30 million to, say he was doing his job. You're talking about five or six more wins. So it seems like, you know, it's not that big of a fix. Yeah, they're struggling offensively, but the rotation has been, you know, pretty much lights out. So that's very encouraging. It's a whole lot easier to fix a bullpen than a rotation.
And the rotation, I agree with you. Up until this series against Cincinnati, they have been pretty good, but I don't know if they're starting to show a little bit of that close to midseason kind of wear. But they didn't have a quality start in four games against Cincinnati, and the Cincinnati team isn't very good.
No, there's, you know, and the division is not any good. You know, it's a, you know, Milwaukee Brewers should not be winning the NL Central. But, yeah, it's a, you know, Martinez is still, you know, pitching well. Wainwright's been up and down. You know, Leake's starting to come back to earth. But that being said, I mean, it's a good enough rotation to have a winning record and be a certainly a wild card contender, you know, even with the offense coupling like it is. You know, and I still think at some point they got to go get a big bat.
What big bat out there do you think that is, you know, a realistic option for them? Is it Eric Hosmer in Kansas City, or who is it?
I think the perfect fit is J.D. Martinez of Detroit Tigers. Now they got to fall out of the race. They're you know, still hanging around because their AL Central, you know, is as weak as the NL Central. But if they fall out, I think Martinez, who's a consistent 25-30 home run guy, free agent at the year, you know, bring him in. You'll enjoy St. Louis. It might be a lot easier to sign once he's there. I think Martinez is the perfect guy.
A player's name in St. Louis is getting a lot of traction is Marcell Ozuna, the left fielder for the Miami Marlins. Do you see that as maybe being an option?
I don't. I really don't. Not unless they want to give up Carlos Martinez, you know, give up Reyes and a few guys. The asking price would be way too steep for a guy like that. I don't see Ozuna at all. It'd be the price tag would be enormous.
So you think that J.D. Martinez is a little more realistic?
Yeah, he's a free agent. Ozuna's got a couple years left. And Ozuna's a nice player. I don't consider him a guy, middle of the bat, that's going to turn around a lineup. I really don't. But I do believe Martinez is that type of guy that can.
You know, earlier you mentioned about the Cardinals' bullpen woes, and they've had plenty of those. But the offense from the seventh inning on hasn't been very good either. Over the past 21 games, they're batting .180 with the .236 on base percentage and a .312 slugging percentage with only 10 runs batted in. That's not going to win a lot of baseball games.
No, it's not. That's why I think, you know, if you get that one guy just to take the pressure off everybody else, it helps. You know, even a team like the Boston Red Sox, as good as they are and powerful as they are, hey, they miss David Ortiz. You know, they're not hitting home runs, and their run production is way down because they don't have that big bat in the middle. And I think the same thing with the Cardinals, you know. First time in about, 16, 17 years, you know, no Pujols and no Matt Holliday. And I think just a guy can just ease the pressure of everybody else and make everybody perform better.
Do you think that the Cardinals, the players, do you think they've tuned out Mike Matheny? Because it seems like whatever he is saying in that locker room, in that dugout, really isn't really transferring out on the field.
No, I wouldn't say that. You know, usually when a team goes through a slump and can't hit, you can say that about any manager. It looks bad. I don't think it's a manageable situation at all. You know, it's not going to take a guy yelling and screaming. You know, I can turn everybody off. And teams go through that. And every time it looks like they're sluggish and nonchalant, and that reflects poor on the manager. But it's just one of those things. I don't think I don't think Mike Matheny is preventing the Cardinals from breaking out and having good offensive nights.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at B Nightingale. Matheny, he has to be going out of his mind because it seems like every move he makes has completely gone the exact opposite of how he wanted it to go. You have the play on Tuesday night with Steve Abiscotti when he makes the out. He catches the ball in foul territory, but the runner tags at third base and scores. He has a play challenge because Piscotty caught the ball basically against the outfield wall. The call was reversed. The player goes back to third base, and then the next thing you know, Scooter Gennett hits a grand slam. I mean, that's when you know that you're just having a rotten set of luck.
Yeah. You know, even last night, you know, the makes the move to take Lynn out. And, but, you know, Fowler hits a run-scoring double. Could have been two ribbies very easily. So at that time, you say it's going to pay off. You're not expecting the bullpen to implode. So it just seems like, an epidemic. Just everything's going wrong with that team. Lynn is probably going to have only one more inning anyway. I know he didn't like it. He's protecting Lynn as well, knowing he needs him for a long season. And coming off the surgery. But, yeah, that's just the way it goes, just like no matter what they touch. And, you should never get swept, particularly a four-game series by the Reds. And the Phillies are coming to town. Now, something's wrong if they don't sweep the Phillies.
So you think that they need a sweep in order to maybe get some of that bad mojo out of their head?
Yeah. I mean, they got a soft schedule. You know, Milwaukee is not a good team. You know, they look like a good team because the division's so bad. But, you know, there's no reason in the world, you know, they shouldn't win, five or seven or six or seven games against the Brewers and the Phillies.
I think one player on this Cardinals roster that has a really short lifespan is Johnny Peralta. I think that as soon as Colton Wong is off the DL, I think Johnny Peralta is going to be gone. I think more than likely going to be released. Do you think that he has any kind of trade value? I mean, he's in his mid-30s, has no runs driven in. So far this year, he doesn't even have an extra base hit driven in. He can play. He's got limited range at third base, limited range at short. Doesn't want to play any other position. What kind of trade value does Johnny Peralta have?
You know, probably none, because teams know they'll just release him anyway. And I guarantee there'll be a handful of teams jumping on him, trying to pick him up for the minimum salary. Just because he's a veteran bat, a good guy to use off the bench. So he'll get picked up in a heartbeat. But just because everybody knows the situation the Cardinals are in, why bother making a trade for him?
You can see a situation where perhaps maybe he goes to an American League team and is a DH there, or do you think that he finds a spot on the field?
I would say more of a bench guy at this time. Maybe he plays himself into a DH or something like that, but probably more of a bench guy.
Bob, what do you think the Cardinals need to do in order to turn this around, or can they turn it around? I mean, it seems like there's not going to be an easy fix on this. They just have to kind of ride it out and hope these guys, they all seem to be in a funk at the same time. Maybe they all snap out of it at the same time. Do you think it's that simple?
Yeah, I think it's a momentum thing, you know, where they start winning some close games. You know, when they have a 4-2 lead going into the seventh inning, they actually hold on and win. And it happens a couple of times. And what happens, you know, when you blow games late, it affects the entire clubhouse. Nothing worse than a blown save. It just, you know, sucks the momentum out of a clubhouse. And I think, you know, it can work in reverse, too, where it gives guys confidence. I think now it's a situation, I'm sure Cardinals will come out and say it, but every time they have a lead going late, you know, the position players will say, okay, what's going to go wrong next? You just get that negative feeling on the field and in the bench.
Let's move out of something depressing like the Cardinals, and let's take a trip around Major League Baseball and talk about the Houston Astros. They are just on some kind of tear. I know they've lost two games in a row, but they're right now 42-18, the best team in baseball statistically, a run differential of plus 102. Do you see this as a team that can go all the way and win the World Series, or is this going to be like the 2001 Seattle Mariners, a great regular season team but fall flat in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, that's what they have to make sure they're not the 0-1 Mariners. They remind you a lot of the Cubs a year ago, just all that young talent. Now, they don't have the five stud pitchers. They used to have a couple of them. That's why I think, you know, when you're talking to the Astro players this week, is that go get another, you know, big-time starter, you know, a Garrett Cole, a Yu Darvish, something like that. So then when you throw him in with Keuchel and McCullers in the postseason, you got as big a chance as anybody. So, tremendous offensive team. The pitching has been, very good, but it's thin. So, Keuchel won the deal today with a stiff neck. I think they got to go, trade away some of those top prospects they got and go for this thing.
In your opinion, what's the toughest division in baseball right now? Is it the AL East or is it the NL West?
I'll go AL East just because there's not a bad team in there. I think the fact San Diego Padres are in the West, brings that division down. That being said, all three teams, three teams in the division could all be in the playoffs with the Dodgers, Rockies, and Diamondbacks. But in the East, you're talking about Boston and the Yankees and Baltimore and Toronto. And Tampa's not bad, but those four teams could win the division.
And when you look at Toronto, like you said, how they started out the season, they were the absolute worst team in baseball, but, they had everybody injured. Josh Donaldson was injured. Troy Tulowitzki was injured. They get those big bats back, and next thing you know, they're only a couple games below .500.
Yeah, they used to have too much firepower, too much talent to play like they did at the beginning, and they're starting to show how good they are now. But very explosive team. I think they might be the most dangerous team in the AL East.
The biggest story coming out of Major League Baseball today was that Chicago Cubs shortstop Addison Russell has been accused of domestic violence by his wife, Melissa. It looks like there was something posted on Instagram. This is something that Major League Baseball has been kind of lucky about as far as their players go. It's not the NFL where they've had a barrage of players, charged or accused of domestic violence. Baseball's been a little luckier when it comes to this, but you got a star player on the defending World Series champion. If you're Rob Manfred, you can't be happy about this.
No, particularly a team high profile as the Cubs and a young star, shortstop in Russell. And yeah, I mean that it's one thing to have commit adultery, but another thing for your wife's best friend to say you actually hit the wife in front of the kids. So MLB will investigate. I talked to them this morning, and they'll talk to the wife, Melissa, and they'll talk to her friend, and to see if this is really true or not. If it was true, then they're facing a suspension like everybody else. But could be just a thing where, a lot of bad feelings, everything else, a relationship that's gotten sour after only being married for a year. Just unfortunate because a real likable guy and sitting top of the world just a few months ago. Now, it's like his world's crashing down upon him.
And just so everybody knows, the Chicago Police Department have said that he is currently not under investigation. So right now, all it is just an allegation, and Major League Baseball, as you had said, Bob, is investigating it, which is what they should do. You can't be like learn the lessons from the NFL and don't have an act of willful blindness on this. Attack this problem head on.
Yeah, in the few of those other cases, particularly in the Reyes' case with the Mets, there was actually police reports, Chapman police report. Wives and girlfriends weren't cooperating, but they had a police report. In this case, no police report. So if she does not cooperate, then I think it's dropped. I don't think he serves, any type of suspension or fine, anything like that. So it's kind of up to her and to see how far she takes it and whether she validates her friend's claims.
Major League Baseball on their auction site pulled the jersey that Hunter Strickland wore on Memorial Day when he got into the brawl with Bryce Harper. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea why they did that, why they pulled it. I don't understand. What's the big controversy about having that jersey up for sale?
Well, I think it's kind of promoting violence, right? In that here's this guy, everybody's all upset that he threw at Bryce Harper, and now you're trying to say, let's make money off this thing because he threw at Harper. So I think the fact it was on MLB.com, it seemed like it should show up on eBay or something. It just looks really, really bad. So I think they had to pull it down. It never should have gotten in the first place. If you're going to try to pretend and say, we don't want this, we're suspending these guys for being in a fight, and then say, let's make some money off it, that's not right.
Well, I mean, if you're going to really want to curb the violence in your sport, how about maybe talking to some of these pitchers about this quote-unquote unwritten rule about every time you don't like it when someone, you know, stares down a home run or flips, or God forbid, flips a bat when they give up a home run?
Yeah, but, you know, it's a, that's, you know, part of baseball lore, right? I mean, that's why everybody in baseball history, and particularly in St. Louis, in love with Bob Gibson. You know, you
were, that's true.
You were going to do that with Bob Gibson. You know, that was made him so famous, being that ornery, and everybody remembers the Nolan Ryan, you know, fight with Robin Ventura. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, at least in this case, Hunter Strickland threw down below at his hip. He did not throw at his head, which Matt Barnes did, of course, with Manny Machado a couple weeks ago.
What was it about a month ago when they had the 1967 Cardinals team back at Busch Stadium to, I think it was during the Boston series, when they had Boston in here for two games, and they had Bob Gibson in the broadcast booth, and every time you listen to that guy talk, I mean, he just sounds like such a gentle, mild-mannered guy, and you're like, really, that guy was the intimidator back in the 60s, this guy, huh? It just doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many stories. It's like, you know, I heard a story recently where a few guys were over at Willie Mays' house for dinner, and then, you know, including Bob Gibson, the next day Bob Gibson hit him in the ribs, and when Willie complained, he says, well, you know, we're between the lines now. It's a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know, and he did not talk to his all-star teammates because he didn't want to know the position players because he knew he had to, you know, intimidate them and everything else. That was just the way it was.
Yeah, I've always heard the stories, too, about Bob Gibson yelling at Tim McCarver to you know, get his bleep back behind the plate. He didn't want to talk to him, and if you got in the batter's box, you started digging in there, you looked up, all you saw was Bob Gibson glaring at you, and he glared at you until you filled that hole back up.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, that's what made him legendary and such an intimidating guy. And I think, you know, even people now, you know, miss that. I think the last guy we kind of saw like that a little bit was Pedro Martinez.
Now, Bob, are you going to be at Busch Stadium this weekend?
I will. I'm on my way there now. And, yeah, I will see what's up with the Cardinals and whether they can get this team turned around.
All right, well, I'm going to be at the stadium on Saturday. I'll send you a text. Maybe we'll meet up.
Okay, sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right, great. Thanks, Bob. Have a safe trip back.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
That is Bob Nightingale from USAtoday.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BNightingale. We'll see a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Sean Rourke, columnist for NHL.com. He's in Pittsburgh tonight for Game 5 between the Predators and the Penguins. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.